Matthew chapter 28.
All right, bro.
Amen. Bro. Today we're going to do a study that changed my life forever.
Yeah.
Now, of the first principles and the fundamental teachings, so many might hit you in different ways. But this study, for a young man who grew up going to church all my life, I learned so much in this study. And it really did change the course of my life. So, for those that are joining us for the first time, we have picked the name of a fired up young Christian, and we've named him Bobby. Now Bobby, he went out at work, and he went on his lunch break, and went over to McDonald's, right, the Rock and Roll McDonald's down here, and while he was in there, he saw this guy that we later found out his name was Esau, sitting all alone. Well, if you're a fired up young Christian, you don't let somebody sit all alone. So, he got up his courage and his Big Mac, and he went over and he said, "Hey, do you mind if I sit with you?" And they started talking. They got to be friends. He ended up bringing him to church. Esau was blown away. Never saw a church like this, where all nations were just loving each other, and he's blown away. And so he said, "I want to study the Bible." So, as I described earlier, we started going through a series of studies to really solidify the elementary truths of God's Word. Now, tonight, it's good to see you, Bobby and Esau. We're going to do a study tonight called Discipleship. And again, as I said, this study changed my life.
Yeah.
Now, in Matthew 28, we're about to read in verse 18, and I want to set this up, and it's important that when you're leading the study, you set this up. These are some of the very last words of Jesus before He ascended back into heaven. Now, you want to pay attention to someone's last words. You with me here? Imagine your very last words going to sum up your life and what you have to say in so many ways. Here's what Jesus said. Matthew 28, verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'll be with you always, to the very end of the age." Now, Esau, what do you think this means? Well, Chris, seems to me Jesus wants the whole world to know who He was.
Yep.
That's exactly right, Esau. Now, more specifically here, what does Jesus want everybody in the world to have a chance to become?
Disciple.
A disciple. That's exactly right. Now, what is a disciple? It's important that we define this word.
Yeah.
You know, and while we're at it, let's define two words. The word disciple and the word Christian.
Yep.
See,
come on.
The word disciple means a follower or a learner. Right? What do you think the word Christian means? And you'll get a lot of different answers here. But the bottom line, Esau, the word Christian simply means little Christ. Or Christ-like. That's all it really means. And it's funny, which word's more popular today, Esau? Yeah, Christian. You have Christian everything. Christian radio, Christian bookstore, Christian coffee shop, Christian music. You know, you're Christian, I'm a Christian, everyone Christian, Christian, you know. And we live in America, but Christian nation.
Yep.
But what about the word disciple? Do you hear that very much?
No.
No. In fact, disciple, what's that? Toga? Sandals? I mean, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Funny enough, in the Bible, Esau, how many times do you think the word Christian appears in the Bible? And again, you'll get all kinds of answers here. Maybe they might say 100. Well, the truth is, it's only in there 3 times. The word Christian. And some people are very surprised by that. You know, the word Christian is only in the Bible 3 times, but you hear it every day. What about the word disciple? How many times do you think that is in the Bible? 270. Thanks, Bobby. You're fired up. That's great. You know that answer. That's our young Christian there. Take a look over in Acts chapter 11.
Come on.
Come on, bro.
Come on.
And we're going to read together. The word Christian is only in the Bible three times. And it was never, ever used until 7 years after Jesus' church was going and growing. All through the years, they used the word disciple. Disciple was Jesus' word of choice. Jesus never used the word Christian. The first time ever the word Christian was used, we're going to read about right here. In Acts chapter 11, verse 19. It says here, "Now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch." Now, Stephen was murdered for his faith. First Christian martyr there. And so, after he was killed, people were afraid for their lives and they scattered. And they went to all these cities. And it says here, telling the message only to Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed in the Lord and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church of Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived there and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. And Esau, we learned that in what? The Seeking God study, right? All your heart. Now, he was a good man full of Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church, taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Okay, first time the word Christian is ever used. What was the word before that, Esau? Disciple. Jesus called them disciples. People that saw them following Jesus were disciples, followers of Jesus. But here, because now we're no longer with just the Jews. We're teaching Greeks, Gentiles. At Antioch, people looked at him and said, "Look at those people. They're Christian." It was a name or a nickname given to who? The disciples. Now, Esau, you'd never look at a group of people over here who were not living like Jesus and call them Christ-like. You wouldn't do that. They looked at these people in Antioch trying to live like Jesus, follow and live their lives like Him, and they said, "Look at these Christ-like people." That's where the name came from, the word Christian. So, let me say this. And this is something very important. I've had people stand up and walk out on me when I ask this question. In the study. So you ready, Esau? Right. According to Scripture, what's the definition of a Christian? Well, a disciple. That's right. No. The disciples were called Christians.
Yep.
So, can you be a Christian if you're not a disciple?
Come on.
Guys, for many people like me who had grown up going to church, this is pretty blow-away.
Yeah.
America, Christian nation. Many people go to church, but they're not trying to follow and walk like Jesus. But they're Christian.
Come on, bro.
Here, you cannot be called a Christian unless you're a disciple. Now, Esau, a lot of people call themselves a Christian. That's not really the test here. It's other people that looked at these men and women who were trying to walk like Jesus and said they are little Christs. They're Christ-like. Pretty intense, huh? Anyway, so I want to make an equation here, Esau. And this is just the introduction, then we're going to jump into the study.
Come on.
Okay? In Christian thinking, if you believe in the Bible, you believe in Jesus, who in the world at the end of time is going to be saved? The Christians.
Amen.
Well, that's right. But according to this Scripture, what do you have to be a Christian? Well, you've got to be a disciple. So, if you want to be saved, Esau, you need to be a Christian. And I like the name Christian. I like being called a Christian. Right? But to be a Christian, what does that really mean? You got to be a disciple.
Yep.
So if you want to be saved, you have to be a disciple, a follower, a learner of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Why do people get up and walk out? A lot of people want to go to church, attend church on Sunday. I'm a Christian, I'm going to heaven. Or Easter and Christmas, I'm good to go. And if you're really super duper committed, then you're a disciple level. We got to see here, guys, that's not what the Scripture teaches.
Right.
Jesus came so that He could make disciples, and only baptized disciples are going to be saved and go to heaven. Remember, you can go in to any church or out on the street and ask 10 different people what the definition of a Christian is. And chances are you're going to get 10 different answers. So let's dive in now, Esau, and let Jesus define what a true Christian really is. Mark chapter 1.
Come on.
All right, let's get flipping. Mark chapter 1, we're going to look at the calling of the very first disciples. Verse 14. Bobby, why don't you read this one? And then I'll get the next one, okay? Since Esau read Matthew 28. See, trade the reading. Keeps everybody involved. Nobody goes to sleep. Amen. Mark 1, verse 14. After John was put in prison, and just a little side note for us disciples, why was he put in prison? For preaching the word.
Yep.
Laying out the sin of the leaders there, and they put him on in jail. Because
yep.
They didn't like him calling out their sin. Oh boy. Went to prison. Jesus went to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net in the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once, they left their nets and they followed him. Okay, just a few points I want to make here, Esau. In the calling of the very first disciples, Jesus comes up to these guys, and really, here's the very simplest definition of what a Christian is. Come follow me.
Yep.
That's a Christian.
That's right.
It's the ones that respond, and they do. They follow Jesus. They try to walk like Him, talk like Him, teach like Him, love like Him. That's a Christian.
Yep.
Someone that follows Jesus. So He says, come follow me. Now, interesting here, He says, come follow me, and I will get you all to heaven.
Yeah.
No. That's not what He says. He says, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, these guys he saw were fishermen. Right? And he makes a little pun. You know, Jesus was a funny guy. Had a sense of humor. He says, okay, you're fishermen. You catch fish. But I'm going to teach you to catch men. If you follow me, I'm going to make you a fisherman. I'm going to make you go out there and do that.
Amen.
See that?
Amen.
Now, let's talk a little bit about purpose in life.
Come on.
Because that's what Jesus did.
Yep.
He called these guys to a different purpose. They were fishermen, but He's now going to give you a greater, more noble purpose in your life. What's more noble? A fish? Catch a fish to eat it? Or catch a man to get him to heaven and save his soul? Catch a man. And so, Jesus gives us a great purpose. Guys, Jesus doesn't just come and say, follow me and I'll get you to heaven. He says, come follow me and I'll give you a reason to live on earth.
Amen. Come on,
I'll give you something to live for more than make more money, put more food on the table, put more clothing, more blankets, more sheets. Let's survive another day. You know, so many guys put their entire security and reason for living, purpose of life in their career.
Yeah.
Right? And that's their status. That's, they feel good about themselves or not.
Wow.
So many women do that with having a family or not. Right? Or career. Or guys and girls do it by, do they have a significant other?
Yeah.
Right? But you know what? In the end of things, I've studied with people that have the job, have the crib, have the car, have the wife and 2.5 kids, and they're not fulfilled.
Right.
That won't do it. Ladies, no man will ever meet all your needs except Jesus. Amen.
Right. Come on.
And guys, no woman will ever really fill you. I mean, you'll have a great relationship, but that's not enough.
Yeah.
And Jesus knew our need to have a purpose to live on this earth
yeah.
rather than just die. Let's get out of here and go to heaven.
Come on.
Right? Even just a side note, for the disciples, not in the study, but Philippians 1. Paul said, for to me to live is Christ, but to die is gain.
Well, right.
I'd rather depart and be with God, which is better by far than this world.
Yeah.
There's only one reason I'm going to stay. I'm convinced you guys need me. Fruitful labor.
Amen.
Paul only wanted to stay to help other people know. Jesus said, you come follow me, your purpose will be my purpose. Why did Jesus come? To seek and save the lost.
Yeah. That's right.
That's the purpose we have. So, let me ask you a question, Esau. Is this your purpose for life? See, you can't wait till the end of the study to make it practical and bring it home.
Right.
You've got to let every scripture get in there. Say, Esau, are you living for the purpose of helping other people know God? Well, no way. I can't say that. Then, are you living as a disciple of Jesus Christ? No. Now, if you connect the dots, if you're not living as a disciple, you're not living as Christ did, a Christian, and you're not saved.
Yep.
That's a shocker. Now, I don't make that point right here. We're going to get through the whole study and let the scriptures unfold. But most people go to church, guys. They don't walk like Jesus did. Their purpose is not to fish for men. Now, a few days later, they dropped their nets and followed. Right, Esau? See, sometimes I do that just to see if they're still looking, you know, and reading the Bible or just trusting me. And if they go, yeah, a few days later, no, they did look in your Bible. But if they go, no, you're wrong, thank you, thanks for helping me out there. It's okay, Bobby, I knew, I was tricking him, it's okay. you know, immediately they left and followed. Immediately they followed Christ. That tells you they were excited about becoming like Jesus.
Yep.
You know what I'm talking about, right? You got any parents here? Say, hey, Junior, take out the garbage. And a few days later, they take it out. You know what I'm talking about? But, hey, Junior, Mom just made some spanking desserts. I'm here. You know, it was spanking and cranking, right? When you're excited about something, you get after it. And they dropped their nets and got after Jesus. Come on, Esau. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9.
Hi, bro.
Let's look at another scripture where Jesus will define what a disciple is, therefore, what a true Christian really is.
Come on.
Luke 9:23. I love this scripture here. It says, then he said to them all, you see that, Esau? If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Pretty powerful, huh?
Yeah.
Esau? Now, very important point here. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me. Anyone. Remember, what does it mean to be a Christian? To follow Jesus. To follow and learn from Him. The call is not one level for the preacher. One level for the really committed. And one level for those that just want the economy class in heaven.
Come on,
you know, the call is the same, Esau, for everybody. If anyone would follow me, he's got to deny himself. Esau, what do you think it means to deny yourself?
Come on.
Well, you know, it's like if you're out with a group of people and you're all trying to figure out what movie to go see and you want to go see a certain one, but the majority wants to see something else. Okay, well, that's fine. I'll go with you guys. That's good. Yeah. That's a very good analogy. Except this is, you want to do something, Esau, or you feel like you got to do something, but you know Jesus would do something different.
Come on.
If you really want to follow Jesus, you deny what you want to do or feel like doing or think is right, and you do what Jesus says you got to do.
Right.
Or not do. You in there? Now, take a look over in Matthew chapter 26, and I will show you an incredible example in the life of Jesus. Matthew 26, And we're going to read in verse 36. This is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, the night before he went to the cross to be crucified. And in Matthew 26, verse 36 to 39, it says here, "Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.' He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, 'My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here. Keep watch with me.' Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and he prayed, 'My Father, if it is possible, then may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will.'" Okay. Incredible passage, right? Jesus is facing the most unbelievable feat, death on the cross. And he knows he's going to do it for the forgiveness of all of our sins.
Yep.
And aren't we grateful?
Amen.
For the grace. We're going to take communion a little later here at church today. Be grateful for that sacrifice.
Yeah.
But here is an incredible example, practically, of what it means to deny yourself. Okay? Jesus says, "Father, if there's any other way, take this cup from me."
Yeah.
"If there's any other way to do it than dying on the cross, let's do it another way. But not as I will, but as you will."
Yep.
"I'll deny myself, Father, and do what you say." Now, we think of self-denial, we think, well, I got to deny what I think and do what God wants. But it started earlier with Jesus. And Esau, it starts earlier. See, Jesus took those that were closest to him to pray together. And even Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, even closer. They were his closest ones. Do you have really close spiritual friends? See, Esau, you need to. Disciples have close friends who are disciples.
Yeah.
And Jesus got open with his best friends here about how he was feeling. He says, "I'm overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." You know, a lot of people, Esau, don't like getting wide open with how they're feeling deep inside. You know? Like a lot of people, maybe you know, your family, your parents may have trouble in their marriage. They'd never dream of sitting with somebody else and talking about that. I mean, here in the church, we do.
Amen.
And Teresa and I, we have trouble. This is good news all the time. When we do have trouble, we get help.
Amen.
From other godly men and women. We talk about what's going on. Take self-denial, Esau, to open up and say, "Here's how I'm really feeling."
Yep.
And then you let other people in there. And then he prayed. And then you can go ahead and deny on the other level of doing what's right. Even if it doesn't feel right. Right? You with me here?
Yeah.
Self-denial. Okay, what's a practical thing for our lives? Those of you that have children, you understand this one. I got a 7-year-old, 10-year-old, but I remember when they were much younger. Little babies. Coming home from the hospital. And I remember those early days, like the Chipettas do so fondly right now. When in the middle of the night, that beautiful little angel of God would scream like a demon. Oh, baby. You know what I'm talking about? Wah! You know, and being a good husband, I knew exactly what to do. I'd say, "Honey, the baby needs you." Right? Right? The baby needs some food, right? And,
right.
So, but then there comes that night where you go, "Darling, the baby needs you." And a soft little gentle voice comes back, "I just fed her. You see what she needs." Whoa! And so, you deny yourself, brothers.
Yeah. Gotta do it. Gotta do it.
And you get up. And you walk in, and the baby's screaming, and you see that beautiful little angel, and you pick him up, and right?
Yeah.
And maybe you sing, "Go to sleep,
child. Yeah, just like that.
Go to sleep." You know, and the baby just quiet. And you go, "Thank you, Jesus." Right? and you put them down. You know, in many things in our life, it's not easy at first to deny ourselves and do what we know is right.
Yeah, that's right.
Once you do it, a joy and a peace comes on in.
Yeah.
And you know it's the right thing. Self-denial. Now, the other thing that we need to cover there is, he said, you got to carry your cross daily, Esau. Daily. Pick up the cross. What do you think that means? Well, you know, it's not just on Sunday that you carry your cross. Or Christmas and Easter. Right? But Jesus said, you got to follow me on Monday, Tuesday afternoon, Wednesday around dinner time, Thursday breakfast, Friday midnight snack. You know what I'm talking about here?
Yeah.
It's daily. And one of the things we have to do daily, again, is get open about garbage in our life. You know, how's it going with anger today? You know, am I getting open about, did I do a good job being like Jesus today? Or was I angry? Or was I lustful? Was I prideful? You know, what's the sin that I need to go ahead and get open about?
Come on.
And he ends it up with, you know, this powerful thought. What good would it be to gain the whole world, Esau, and lose your very self? Or some versions say, your very soul. You can be president of your company. Get the big house. Get the beautiful wife. Get the two kids. Great husband. You know. And then die and lose your soul in hell. What good? So Esau, if you believe this is true, this is how you got to walk. Now, again, let me ask you very bluntly. Is this how you're living your life? No, I can't say so. Then are you living as a disciple of Jesus? No. Okay, let's read on. Luke 14.
Come on.
How you guys doing?
Come on.
Luke 14.
Come on, bro.
You know, man, if we can get these studies down and learn how to not just transfer information, but the heart of what God wants, man, it will change this city in an incredible way. Person by person. Luke 14, verse 25 to 33. Now, we're going to dig in here. A few sections, let's run through. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus. And turning to them, he said, if anyone would come after me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Well, not first down, sit down and estimate the cost and see if he has enough money to complete it. Four, if he lays foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, this fellow began to build but was not able to finish. Or suppose the king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he's able with 10,000 men to oppose one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still far way off and ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. Okay? Here's Jesus doing another teaching of what it means to be a true disciple or a true Christian.
Yep.
Yeah.
Is this easy stuff, Esau? No. This isn't grace, grace, and much more grace. Amazing it is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, there's amazing grace that Jesus offers us, but here he's telling us what it takes to really be. I love to jump first into verse 28 and 30 about counting the cost. It's a tower. Suppose you want to build this tower. Aren't you first going to see if you have enough money so that you don't get halfway through and mess up and people laugh at you? Right? Suppose, Esau, that Bobby comes to pick you up for one of the studies driving this sweet new car. I mean, it is candy apple red. Wheels are tricked out. Stereo is cranking. Right? It's even got a subwoofer in there. You know what I mean? It's just boom, 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 boom. Right? It's cranking. Got my mind on my money and my money on my mind. You know what I'm saying? It's cranking. And then, all of a sudden, next study, he comes pick you up. Say, where's your car? Well, we're taking the bus today, Esau. They repossessed it. Amen.
No.
So, see, wouldn't you sit down and see if you got enough money before you buy it? That you're going to be able to pay for it? Because then Esau's going to be like, oh, Bobby, I'm so sorry. Heck, were you thinking? You got to count the cost. Suppose you really want to follow Jesus. You want to be a disciple. You believe this is right. Don't just make an emotional decision. Because Esau, it's not an easy life. And if you make an emotional decision to be his disciple, as soon as it gets hard, you're going to make an emotional decision to leave. You got to count the cost.
Amen.
Then he goes in the next section, however, about these two armies and these two kings going at each other. Now, Esau, who do you think these two kings are? And when you ask this question, you get a bunch of wild answers.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You never know what we're going to hear here. But it's important that you don't just tell them, that you let them think about it and wrestle with it and figure out the Word of God themselves. Now, in the end, what's the answer? Well, the king, one of them is King Jesus.
Amen.
And one of them is King Esau, you. So, let's say you don't want to be a disciple. You count the cost and you go, no, I don't have enough to complete this. But if you really believe it's true, you're going to war against God.
Yeah.
And He has the more men. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
King Jesus is going to win. So if you're smart, whether you're fired up about doing this or not, you better raise that flag, Esau, and ask for terms of peace before it's over.
That's right.
You don't want to go to war against God.
No.
Now, I got to throw this in. When an army surrenders to another army, how does that work? Is it, okay, we surrender totally, but here are our terms. Here's what we want.
No?
Neither can you be a disciple that way. Jesus, I want to be a disciple, I'll give up everything, but here's what I want. No. No. You go, I'll do anything, just don't kill me.
Please.
Yeah. You surrender everything. It's on
right.
God's terms,
that's
Esau,
right.
When we become disciples.
Come on.
Okay. Now, let's go back and talk about this hate thing. If you want to come after me, you've got to hate your mama. And hate your little babies. Not just in the middle of the night when they're screaming. You know what I'm talking about? Amen? What do you think Jesus is saying here, Esau? You think Jesus is saying, in order to be my follower, you need to write some dirty letters to your family and mail them?
No.
No, it's not what it's saying. But there is an issue here. Where if your loved ones, and notice the list is the closest people in your life. Mom, dad, wife, children, yourself. You know, people close to you. You know what I mean?
Yep.
If any of those people close to you tell you not to follow God, Jesus comes first.
That's right.
King Jesus comes first.
Yeah.
You got to love God so much more than anybody even closest to you in life so that your decisions, when they're to be made on Jesus. And I say, Esau, what if you love Jesus this much, but you love mama this much? When you got to make a decision, who are you going to base it on? Mama. Sorry, moms, I'm not trying to offend anybody. You know what I mean? When you love Jesus this much, ladies, you love your husband this much. Then who are you going to base your decision on? Jesus, no, my husband, no, Jesus, no, you know, right? And it's a battle. No, you got to love God so much. And even though you really learn to love your mom, your dad, your wife, your children, you learn to love them more. But you keep Jesus so far above that every decision in our lives is King Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Now, it says here, if you don't carry your cross, you can't be my disciple. What do you think this means? Carry your cross. Well, a cross, I think of death, pain. That's true.
Yeah.
Here's what else it is, Esau. Persecution. Yeah. They nailed Jesus to the cross. Why? Because he did bad things? No. Because he taught you got to obey God. You got to follow God. And they persecuted him to the point of nailing him to the tree. You in there?
Yep. Come on.
Esau. When you become a disciple and you follow Jesus, you will be persecuted.
Come on, bro.
Are you ready for that? And a lot of times people go, oh yeah, I'm ready.
Okay.
Especially the guys, right? Oh yeah.
Come on.
Bring it on. Now let me say it again, Esau. I'm serious. People you love, mom, wife, teachers, friends, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, they're going to say, man, you're a fanatic. You don't have to do all this. I go to church, just go to church with me. I'm a Christian. You don't have to really do all this. And it goes back, you know, some people have even called our church a cult.
Yep.
Yeah. Because we're really committed. We believe this doesn't work unless you really do it.
That's right. That's right.
You know? Are you ready for that? Is it Esau? Have you ever been persecuted like this because of your belief and faith in Jesus? Well, no, I never have. Well, if you follow Jesus, become a disciple, you will.
Yeah.
You will be.
Right.
So you got to get ready for that. Amen.
Amen.
And then in the end it says, unless you give up everything you have. Now notice, how many times does it say this in this short section, Esau? Three times we read, unless you give up everything, you might not be able to be a disciple.
No.
Thanks, Joe. I didn't see you come in the studies. It's good that you're here. Amen. It's good. No. It says three times, unless you give up everything, you cannot be my disciple.
Yep.
Therefore, you cannot be called a Christian. You will not be saved. You see this, guys?
Yep.
We got to give up everything. Not just anything, but everything in our lives if we really want to be a disciple. Esau, is this the way you've been living? I got to be honest. I gotta be honest, it's not the way I've been living. In fact, Chris, most important thing in my life has been my girlfriend. Right? I've pretty much given up almost everything for her. And I'll be honest, it's not even a pure relationship. Well, in that case, Esau, if you want to be a true disciple, you're gonna have to change.
Come on.
Amen? Let's read on. Let's go to Luke 11. Home stretch, guys.
Come on, bro.
Luke 11, this is a great passage.
Here, bro. Come on.
Awesome passage here. Luke 11, verse 1. We're going to take a long way home, but we're going to go home. Amen. Verse 1. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples asked him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Esau, if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus, you've got to learn to pray like Jesus prayed. See, the people that followed Jesus, they saw how much strength, how much power he got from his prayer life.
Right.
From praying. And they go up and they say, teach us to pray. Just like John taught his disciples to pray. Now, Esau, we got to talk here. How are your prayers? See, remember when we first started studying and you started saying some of the first prayers ever and you were so quiet? So afraid to pray? But then, right before the study night, you were like, God, help us as we study. I mean, you were bolder.
Yeah.
You're learning to pray.
Yep.
None of us just innately know how to pray. We have to learn. And to be a disciple or a learner, we have to say, hey, please teach us how to pray.
Yep, that's right. Yeah.
We need to learn. And then Jesus does teach them. And it's really awesome here how he teaches them to pray. The Jews had always prayed, they had always said, Lord. Now what that means in our day is Master. Right?
Yeah.
Master. Jesus says, here's how you're going to get to pray now. Now you get to say, Father. See, Jesus came to change everything.
Yep.
To bring a personal relationship.
Yeah.
A closeness. We get to pray to the God of the universe, the maker of heaven and earth, and you and me, and say, Father!
Right.
Isn't that awesome? Now, to have a relationship with God, Esau, you got to learn to pray. What does it say here? It says, Give us our daily bread. Now that's interesting. Esau, how often do you eat?
5 times a day.
Yeah, Esau, I can see that you're doing pretty good in that department. Right? Right? You're not missing any meals. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
Amen. That's awesome. We eat not just daily, several times a day.
Yeah.
That's a relationship with God. We need to be praying several times a day.
Yeah.
We don't just pray once a day. When we wake up and we go to bed, we pray several times a day. And we don't just pray, thanks for food, amen. Good God, good Lord, good meat, let's eat. You know what I'm saying? No. But we're talking about learning to talk and have a relationship. Being vulnerable like Jesus did in His prayer in Gethsemane. Talking to God. That is how you learn to pray. Esau, is that how your prayers have been? No. Appreciate the honesty. So, you see, to be a disciple, you got to say, teach us to pray.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen?
Amen? Let's look on John 13. Next to last scripture.
Come on, sir.
John 13, another great passage. Jesus says, verse 34... A new command I give you. Love one another. As I've loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my
disciples.
If you love one another.
Yep.
See, everyone's going to know you're a Christian. You're like me. If you love one another. This is an awesome passage about love. Now, Esau, what do you think this means? Chris, I think I got this one. It means we need to love each other. You got that one, dog. You know, it's kind of like you guys when you finally get an answer right on first principles quipping test. Yeah! You got that one. Amen. Oh, lighten up, guys. I'm just kidding.
Come on.
Okay. You got to love each other.
Yeah.
You know, in order to love each other, you got to be a part of a fellowship. They'll be part of a church, man. Esau, you ever seen anything like church you've been going to? No, I haven't. I haven't. Man, all nations. All colors. Doesn't matter. Students, man, I see young folks and old folks, you know. I won't make any personal comments. You know, but the relationships are tight. You don't see an age gap in the relationships or in the color or in the financial bracket. Now, let's just talk about it here. Esau, you don't see this anywhere else in the city of Chicago.
Come on, bro.
Where else in the city of Chicago have you seen deep, loving, we really care about each other relationships? No matter what we look like, sound like, than right here. No, you're right, Chris, I haven't. See, our church, we just started. We only have 37 members. I challenge you to take 37 members from any other organization in the city and you see if they're as committed to each other, loving each other, as this group right here.
Right. Come on,
now, let me say this to the church. Even 37, there's no way one person can meet all those needs. I'm the minister. I can't meet all the needs of 37 individual people. Imagine when it gets bigger. So in the church here, what do we have? We have Bible talks. We break it down into small groups.
Yeah.
Within those small groups, you guys got to work hard to meet the needs of each other in those groups.
Amen. That's right.
That is where those needs get met.
That's right.
Because no matter how big we get, we can have a group of 7 or 10 people that are committed to each other and to helping each other's needs. Amen?
Amen.
To the extent that we can help. Amen. But there's a couple reasons here for this love and why it needs to be this way and why Jesus commands us to do it. First of all, Esau, you need it.
Yeah.
Everything we've been studying, what it takes to be a true Christian, is that easy stuff? No. You see a lot of people doing it? Honestly, no. You need help doing it. We got to help each other. And secondly, it is our witness to the whole world. What does he say? When people come in and they see that kind of love, that's when they're going to know
you're
followers of Christ.
That's right.
Come on.
They're going to know you are my disciples by your love one for another. Matthew 28. Let's end where we began. But we're going to get just a little bit deeper into this scripture this time, Esau. You know what I love about the Bible? You can read it for years and years. Read the same scripture and find deeper and deeper truth.
That's right.
And how to apply it to our lives. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, to the very end of the age." Now, Esau, this is not a request of Jesus. This is a command.
That's right.
He commands these disciples to go make disciples of all nations, the whole world, and teach them. Now, Esau, a lot of people misunderstand and think this command was just for the original 11. He wasn't commanding me to do that in 2006. That was just for the original ones. No, if that's true, you'd never know about it. It would have died back then. See, he said, "Peter, James, John, I want you to go, the 11 of you, go make disciples of all nations. Baptize them that you make disciples." What does it mean to be a disciple? Everything we studied today.
Yep. Come on.
Teach them all that. Then baptize them.
Yep.
Then comes the hardest part. Teach them to obey everything I've commanded you.
Right.
Yep. And what's this last thing I'm commanding you? To go to all nations. So you got to teach them to obey that too. So for us today, it's the same command.
That's right.
How will everybody out there ever know unless we are commanded to go and fish for men and make them disciples? Now, let me ask a question, Esau. Who's the candidate to be baptized? You know, just last Sunday, we saw Dre get baptized.
Yeah.
Amen? Now, who is the candidate, Esau, to get baptized? Well, I guess disciples. Yeah. People who've made the decision to obey God and be a disciple. Then they can get baptized. Now, a lot of churches don't do it this way. I was baptized as a baby. Can a baby make the decision to do what I've taught you tonight? No way. Oh, that's a problem here. Preacher's getting a little controversial. Some of you may be sitting there going, "Is he saying all these churches that baptize babies are wrong?" Go make disciples, baptizing them. Who do you baptize?
Disciples.
Read the Bible cover to cover. You will never find one baby ever baptized, ever. It's not in the Bible. Esau, we got to go by the Bible. Remember the word study?
Amen.
Not our traditions, but by the Bible. Now, we talk more about that later. But you have to make this decision if you're going to then be baptized. Now, the other thing he says, after you're baptized, you need someone or men, and if you're a woman, women, in your life teaching you not just to know all the teachings. The command of Jesus right here, bluntly, is to teach others to obey. Again, if you've got children, you know what I mean. We're not commanded to teach our children, clean your room. You know what clean your room means? Yeah, I mean, pick everything up and put it away. Great, you know what it means. Now do it. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I know exactly what a clean room means, and it's a mess. No, we're to teach them to obey what we actually say.
Right.
So we're talking about grown adults here. Yeah, we are commanded by Jesus to go teach grown adults not to obey us, to obey Jesus.
Come on.
Take these notes home today. And if there's anything I'm saying that's not in the Bible, blot them up and throw them away. But if you see it's from the Scriptures, it's not Chris saying it, Esau. It is God. You're going to need people in your life teaching you to obey. And then finally, this is what's exciting. We, Esau, me, you, and Bobby, and the group here, the church, we can make a difference in the entire world.
Yeah.
No, come on. Maybe in our block. No. See, a lot of people, Esau, and all of you, we have trouble believing this. Our little group can make a difference in the world.
Come on.
Oh, yeah.
What does it say here? According to Jesus, it's the only thing that ever will make a difference in the world.
Yeah.
A small group committed to be true disciples.
Yeah.
And it'll make disciples and make disciples and make disciples. Now, if you look in your bulletin, you got this whole study in your bulletin on page 3. If you already looked, it's written out for you. And if you didn't get a bulletin, raise your hand and we'll get you one. No, no more. Oh, they're all gone. Maybe someone will give you theirs. Anyway. Look at the bottom. There's a little graph here. This is kind of a fun thing to do at the end of the study.
Yeah.
Now, let's say, because denominational churches don't think this way. Denominationally, the thinking is this. The preacher does the work.
Yeah.
Everybody else comes to church, gives contribution, so that the preacher stays fired up about doing his work. And the preacher does my Christianity for me too.
Yeah.
No. I am the leader of the church. All that means is I lead all the disciples. I got to do my own Christianity.
Well,
and so do you.
Yeah.
And I just got to inspire you and spur you on to do it.
Yeah.
And obey. But let's just say, in the denominational way of thinking, you got a preacher who is fired up. He goes out, and in 1 year, he makes a disciple every day. At the end of the year, he has, what does it say? 365. But then, you just have little old you. You don't have any chance of changing the world. All year, you commit, and all you do is just make one other true disciple. Now you have two. Doesn't look like a big deal, huh? Well, next year, preacher's at it again. Energize your buddy. You'll be one. You'll be one. You'll be one. Right? And now, we're up to 730 true disciples. Those other two disciples, they were faithfully committed to one other person. Now they're four. Go on. 3 years, 1,095 in the preacher's church. Now, preacher's marriage is going to pot.
Oh, yeah.
Kids are like beating each other up on the couch because he's given all his attention to making disciples every day. Who's going to take care of those 1,095 people? The preacher? Who's going to meet all those needs? It doesn't work. But over there, you got the four. They've committed to one more, and now they're eight. And they're meeting each other's needs.
Amen.
The disciples make disciples.
Amen.
You play this out, and by year 13, everything flips. Preacher, well, he died of a heart attack, but there's 4,745 members there. Disciples are now over 8,000. And in just 33 years, a lifetime, that other church, maybe there's almost 12,000 disciples making disciples, make disciples. Do it on your calculator later. Over 5 billion, the world.
Wow.
5 billion souls. But we can't make a difference. Not us. In the whole world. See, every one of you can devote to making one other disciple.
Yep.
And teaching them to obey everything, which includes them making another disciple.
Yep.
You can change a life and change the world.
That's
right. So do we believe we can change UIC?
Come on.
Right here? How about the North Riverside area? The whole area?
Oh, yeah.
How about Brookfield?
Yep.
How about the South Loop?
Oh, yeah.
Do we believe we can change all of Chicago?
Come on.
And the Midwest?
Yeah.
And the world?
Amen.
You got to believe what Jesus is teaching right here.
Amen.
It can absolutely happen. Now, Esau. Back to Esau. Everybody's not going to get baptized. But everybody's going to have a chance. And those who love God will repent and be baptized and become true disciples. Now, this study can be overwhelming for people. For me, I get a little personal here and share about my life. And I just got to say, I went to church my whole life. When they asked me, Chris, are you living this way? What do you think my answer was? No. I went to church. Monday to Saturday. Slept around. Had a girlfriend. Cursed a lot. More and more stuff. But on Sunday morning, I was in church. I wasn't living as a true disciple. My purpose? To fish for men? No way. I wasn't asking other people to sit and let me teach them the Bible. I'd never baptized anybody, so I thought that was the priest's job. Or the preacher. And did I have people in my life that I was teaching to obey everything and to go make a... No. When you look at the religious world, you don't see this. But I hope clearly today you saw this is Jesus' plan.
Amen.
But here's what's hard. They said, so Chris, are you a true disciple? Now, some people, it is so hard for them to say no.
Yeah.
But if you know them and you're their friend, they go to church, but you know they don't live this way.
Yep.
No. It's like my daughter. But my teacher said that 31's an even number. It's hard. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
I'm not a disciple. Okay, here's where it gets hard. Then Chris, as they said to me, are you a Christian? All my life I was told I was Christian. I thought I was. But I saw from this I was not living this way, and I said, no. Then Chris, Christians are going to be saved. If you're not a disciple, not a Christian, are you saved? No. Now, if you're not a religious person, maybe that doesn't hit you hard. I was talking to a guy yesterday. No, he knows he's not a Christian. He wouldn't expect that. For those that think they are and are not living this way, whoa.
Come on.
Yeah, right.
Now, they quickly said, Chris, do you want to be a disciple? Oh, yes, I do. Good, that's all that matters. Yeah. But you got to see you're not for you to be able to become one.
Amen.
Then you'd be a true disciple. Amen?
Yep.
And that's all that matters. So, and then you got to go back to Esau. Bless you. And hopefully, they're humble and they see it. And they know where they stand before God. And therefore, they have hope. And they can be different. Now, it's important after this study that you stay in there with these guys and be a friend.
Yeah.
That you talk that day, you talk the next day and the next day. Because, again, this can be heavy. And you want them to know you're committed to them, to helping them through this, and helping them learn how to be a true disciple. Because it can shake their world. Man, I was mad. I remember thinking, how come nobody ever showed me this growing up in church?
Wow.
I was upset. But then later on, I mellowed out when I realized it's because no one showed them either.
Yeah.
Now that I know, I'm going to show them.